Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can acts of love and sacrifice be classified in the same way as an act of murder? In cases of murder, the act is classified perhaps as first degree, second degree, voluntary, involuntary manslaughter, depending on the circumstances surrounding the murder. For example, in most states, a second-degree murder is a murder that is done in malice, with hatred. But it is not necessarily planned out. It's not premeditated. Generally speaking, it is an act done in the heat of the moment. First-degree murder, however, is murder that is planned, it is premeditated, it is thought out, it is done as a result of a clear-headed decision. So, can an act of love be classified in the same way as an act of murder? Is there first-degree love? Is there second-degree love? John 15 is a lot about love, a lot about bearing fruit. And our letter from 1 John is a lot about love as well. Christ commands his disciples to love one another as I have loved you. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now the disciples don't know yet the extent of Christ's love for them. They don't know how far his love is going to take them. For us, though, we know. We're living on this side of Easter. We know what Easter entails and the act of love that Christ will do. So when he tells them to love as I have loved, Christ is setting the bar pretty high. And Christ even acknowledges this fact. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. If we are honest with ourselves, I think we'd all agree that just even attempting to get to that bar that Christ has set is a pretty lofty goal. Now today is Mother's Day, and we appreciate our mothers. We should appreciate them every day. Every day should be Mother's Day. But since we don't do very good at that, we have a specific day for it. So today's that day, whether or not the weather is nice. And our mothers, day in and day out, they really do strive to love their families as Christ has loved them, don't they? But moms know just how difficult this is some days. Some days it feels more like you're just going through with your duty. Other days you know that failure is right there and it haunts you. And I really truly believe that this is why coffee, wine, and ice cream were invented. They were invented for moms. Am I right, Lisa? Yeah, they were invented for moms. To love one another, to love family, fellow Christians, is hard work. And it is taxing, isn't it? Annie and I have been trying to get Elsie sleep trained at night so that she can soothe herself and just sleep through the whole night without us having to get up and take care of her. And we've been reading on how to do this best. And I knew, I think in my mind, before we read these things, that it has to be the father's kind of responsibility, right? Because let's face it, dads don't soothe their babies in the same way that mothers do. We're just not equipped for it. So I know that if we're going to be successful at this, that it has to come down to me. I'm going to be the one that has to lose a little bit more sleep. But, now I love my wife. I love her a lot. But my sinful, selfish nature sure loves to sleep at night. And I'll admit, it's pretty easy to sometimes act like you're sleeping, to roll to the other side, pretend you're not hearing certain noises at night. I admit, I am a sinner. But even on a good day, let alone in the middle of the night, our sinful nature is just selfish, and it is not prone to love others, whether it's family, friends, people in our community, or anyone else. It's not in our nature. Our nature is to be selfish, and selfish people have a difficulty sacrificing themselves for others. We want others, instead, to sacrifice themselves for us. It's hard to give up our money, it's hard to give up our time, it's hard to give up our sleep, that's for sure. And frankly, it's just sometimes hard to be inconvenienced, to go the extra step to love your neighbor, to love other people. Whatever it is, selfishness is a tough obstacle to overcome. Yet, Christ commands it. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You are my friends if you do what I command. That can sound like a hard word. Now, in this passage, Jesus is speaking directly to his 12 disciples. These are, 12 disciples minus one. Judas has left the room. These are disciples, these are men that have traveled with Jesus over the course of probably 3 years. They've lived together, they've shared a lot of experiences. They are good friends living in community with each other. Some of them are related to each other, some of them are brothers. Loving one another for them is a hard word. But think of how much more difficult this gets when we expand who we're supposed to love. Who does Jesus tell us that our neighbors are? It's everybody. Love your neighbor is everybody, even those people whom you don't like, but especially those who don't like you, who hate you, who despise you. Even those are ones we are commanded to love, to treat well, to love as Christ has loved us. Romans 5 tells us that God shows his love for us in this, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ's act of love, laying down his life for other people, wasn't a sacrifice made for those who love him. It was a sacrifice made for sinners. And who are sinners? They are the haters of God. They are those who despise God. Yet they are the ones whom Christ died for. His sacrifice, his act of love, it was a first degree act of love. It was love in the highest sense of the word. From before time began, the cross was a part of God's plan. It was there. It was reasoned through. It was thought of, planned within the triune God's mind. The cross of Christ was a premeditated act of love done for you. In our text from John, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. He knows the sinners who sit before them. He has exposed Judas as the one who would soon betray him. That very night, he let him run free out the door, knowing that Judas was about to do his vile work and betray Christ. And even as Christ is speaking to the disciples of his own joy, he knows full well that he will soon be tried, condemned, beaten, battered, and nailed to the cross. Yet he speaks of his joy. and it's all premeditated, all planned out for you. In premeditated and calculated fashion, Christ tells his disciples that he's preparing, as he prepares to go to the cross, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Remain in my love. Rest in my love. You did not choose me. I chose you. From the beginning of time, Christ chose you, has selected you, has had you in mind. And in choosing you, he chose to die for you. Despite all the stuff we do, Christ chose to die for you. It is premeditated. It is first degree love. And as Christ was called beloved by the Father, he calls you beloved as well. You are friends of Christ. And though we are extremely high maintenance friends, Christ works with who he has. And he works within you. He gives you his Holy Spirit, a spirit that works within you, convicting you of your sin, and then molding and shaping you to be the person that Christ would want you to be. The beautiful result of Christ's first-degree act of love and in giving you the Spirit is that it causes me to do second-degree acts of love. As we become more and more molded into the person that Christ wants us to be, we abide more and more in the love of Christ. And without thinking about it, without planning it through, we show love more and more to those around us. Abiding in Christ, you keep his commandments more and more without planning it, without reasoning through it. And as one saved by grace through faith, you belong to Christ. And now Christ lives within you in his Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your love for us, that before anything else, you loved us. You died for us. Help us, Lord, by your Spirit, to abide in your love, to remain in it, to rest in what you have for us. And in that, Lord, to love others as you have loved us, in small ways and in big ways, to sacrifice ourselves for the good of others. And Lord, when we do fail, we ask that you would show us our failures, but more importantly, show us your forgiveness. And we pray this in your name. Amen. At this time, we will give of our morning offering. Our offering plate is in the middle of the aisle. And during that time, we will sing also the song, Sanctuary.